The men who will fight up this slope have gone through 2 command changes in a day. Colonel William Graham left just before the battle, having learned his wife is ill or in labor. Sources differ. His second in command, Lieutenant Colonel Frederick Hambright, deferred to Major William Chronicle because Chronicle knew the ground. Some 60 to 80 men from the nearest parts of North Carolina come in along the road from the left and form a line 10 steps downhill. Chronicle, standing about here, lifts his hat and yells to his men, "Face to the hill!" A bullet drops him dead. The men charge up the hill as Hambright resumes command. At the top, they are met by a line of Tory militia who fire a volley and scramble downhill with bayonets of a sort. The provincials have proper bayonets which fit around their musket barrels. Militia usually don't, but Ferguson had his blacksmiths create knives with wood handles fitting in the barrels of their guns. Some Tories also have halberds, pole weapons topped by blades and spikes. Young teen Robert Henry is nearby when Chronicle falls. As the Loyalists approach, he takes cover behind a log across a hollow, if not the depression uphill to the right of the monument, something like it. As he cocks his gun, a Tory shoves a bayonet through his hand and into my thigh. His gun fires and his attacker falls on him. Henry's colleagues have withdrawn down the hill, but they fire a volley from 20 feet away, dropping more Tories. The Whigs then retreat to the bottom. Henry says he tumbled over a log and lay still. His colleagues reload and charge back up. A man he told the story to said, "They charged over him 2 or 3 times, but he kept dark, not able to free himself from the bayonet. Finally, a friend uses his foot to pull the blade out." Draper believed Henry was the last battle veteran to die, at 98, during the Civil War. William Twitty sees a friend killed and spots the smoke of the gun by a tree. He aims at the spot, waits for the shooter's head to appear, and fires when it does. After the battle, he comes back and sees the Tory was a neighbor. Hambright, on horseback uphill to the right near the battle's end, takes a bullet in his thigh bone, filling his boot with blood. He refuses to dismount, yelling in his thick German accent, "Huzzah, my brave boys! Fight on a few minutes more and the battle will be over!" Supposedly Ferguson overhears this and cries to his men, "Huzzah, brave boys, the day is our own!" Hambright also suffers 3 bullet holes to his hat. Captain Samuel Espy takes a bullet to his right elbow, breaking his arm. Hambright recovered from his wound, but limped the rest of his life. Espy's arm never fully healed. The next year, he was forced to give up military service because the soldiers under his command complained of the offensiveness of the smell. Atop the hill is Provincial Lieutenant Anthony Allaire. During the first charge, "It fell to my lot to put a rebel captain to death, which I did with 1 blow of my sword. The fellow was at least 6 feet tall, but I was mounted on an elegant horse, and he was on foot." This was probably Captain John Maddox. The fighting here is fierce, maybe because the rebels are blocking the Tories' escape route. 11 of the Whigs are killed or wounded. Colonel Graham turns back when he hears the gunfire and is spotted toward the end coming from the road, but his men had done their jobs without him. Continue on the main trail. If you wish, visit the monuments to Chronicle and Maddox. The original, placed in 1815 with battle veterans present, is one of the oldest anywhere related to the Revolution. Contrary to some sources, there are no graves there. Then please follow the walking instructions under "Yonder is Your Enemy" and click the audio clip.